From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer. On September 11th at 8 o'clock and at 8:14, two airliners took off from Boston's Logan Airport. A few minutes later, two more planes took off, one from Newark and one from Dulles Airport near Washington. In a little less than 90 minutes, planes had crashed into the World Trade Center and into the Pentagon, and not long after that, the fourth plane, United Flight 93, crashed in a field near Pittsburgh. In today's New York Times, there is a transcript of communications between pilots and air traffic controllers in that brief period. It's a minute-by-minute account, starting with American Airlines Flight 11, the first plane off the ground. Matthew Wald and Kevin Sack wrote the story for The Times. Matt Wald joins us now. About a minute and a half after takeoff, ground controllers got their first sense that something was wrong.
They lost contact with American 11. These transcripts read somewhat like transcripts where somebody's radio has gone bad. It's not an instant reason to worry.
One of the most horrifying bits of conversation that you report is that the second plane to take off from Boston was asked by the controllers to look for that American Airlines plane.
That's correct. What happens is, up in the air, you're all on one frequency within a sector. That's the definition of an air traffic control sector, where you're all on the same frequency. And it's a party line, and people are talking to each other. What happens on American 11 is the bad guys who take over the cockpit make a mistake. They mean to address the passengers. They may actually address the passengers, but they end up addressing everybody on the frequency as well, because the switch that sets your microphone to broadcast over the frequency is on the control yoke. And they announce, as if they are talking to the passengers, that they want everybody to be quiet and sit down and everything will be fine. But it's in an Arabic accent. It's clearly not something meant to go out over the frequency. And everybody's listening to this. United 175, then in normal flight, hears this and decides to report, we just heard this very strange conversation on our frequency while we were coming out of Boston.
About 25 minutes into the American flight, the controllers conclude that this is a hijacking, and it is partly because of those conversations that were overheard from the
cockpit. And
some
other symptoms, like the plane is going where it wants to, is not responding to commands. There are other communications links that are broken.
By that time, United Flight 175 was also doing the wrong thing.
Right.
Controllers are beginning to realize what's happening, but it's already too late to do anything with those first two planes.
Once the plane is hijacked, it's too late for those planes. That's right.
At that point, just after 9 o'clock, both towers of the Trade Center have been hit. The controllers are now trying to locate the other planes, the American Airlines plane that took off from Dulles and headed west. And again, in your transcript, you hear the controller's conversation, but there's nothing from the plane.
That's right.
You also have no conversation from the last plane to take off, which was United Flight 93 from Newark. Now, we've heard from cell phone conversations that the passengers intervened in that hijacking, and we know that the plane crashed in the field near Pittsburgh, and that before it did, there may have been some sort of
struggle. We also know from people who heard those transmissions that there was sound of a struggle. In addition, there was another announcement over the frequency, as with American 11. In other words, the hijacker is mistaking transmitting to the passenger cabin with transmitting on the frequency. And he does something slightly different. He says something like, this is the captain. They've hijacked us. They have a bomb. We're acceding to their demands. However, it's said in a heavy Arabic accent, so it's not likely to have convinced anybody.
The transcript of that, of whatever it was, does exist. But you, when
the
you
FBI's
got
the FBI's got it.
But what you do have is some kind of an account of a computerized conversation.
There's something else going on, which is each airplane is followed by a dispatcher. That's the plane's point of contact on the ground. As it happens, United 175 and United 93, because they're both transcontinental flights, happen to be assigned to the same dispatcher. When he knows that Flight 175 has been hijacked, he pushes a button to send a message, like an email, out to all of the planes he's following, including 175 and 93, and that message is, beware cockpit intrusion. And he gets back a confirmation from United 93 that they have read that message.
The thing that strikes me looking at the story and at all of these conversations laid out in a chart that's in the paper and on the website is that it all happened so quickly that it's not clear that anything could have been done from the ground to stop it. I mean, you could just as easily make a bad decision as a good decision if you made one.
Oh, yes. And it's one of the things to think about going forward, that we're now set up on somewhat more of a hair trigger to send up armed planes after civilian jetliners with the possibility for horrible error.
Matthew Wald, thanks very much.
Thank you, Linda.
Matthew Wald is a reporter for the New York Times. He works in the newspaper's Washington Bureau.